And now, if you will, turn to Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20, we'll take our reading from verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant, or your livestock, or the sojourner who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Father, we ask this very day that you will give to us a deep and abiding love for your day. A deep and abiding love for your day that is rooted and grounded in a deep and abiding love for who you are and for what you have done for us in Jesus Christ. Bless us this day. Give us good understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. What or who do you love more than anything else in this world? What or who is your true desire, your true passion? What do you really long for? Let me bring this in just a little. Do you love the Lord more than you love anything else in this world? Do you love Jesus more than you love the treasures of this earth? Do you love the triune God of Scripture more than you love the things that this world can offer you? Are you heavenly minded? Or are you worldly minded? Now, I say these things and I ask these things because if you were to show me how you spend your Lord's Day, you would tell me a lot more about yourself than you realize. If you were to take me and let me be a fly on the wall and let me see how you spend the day that the Lord has set apart for Himself, you would show me who or what your true love is. As we come to the doctrine that is set before us today, chapter 21 in our confession of faith, I want you to know that the position that is stated here is a position into which I have grown. 10 years ago, if you would have seen me or you would have met me or known me, my position was not the same. It has only grown into this as I have seen and become more and more convinced and convicted about what the Scripture teaches. And as I grow, I hope that 10 years from now, what the Lord's Day in my life looks like is different than even today, but that I will grow in rest and in grace and appreciation for His day. I hope you might say the same. Our text today sets before us really three things. It sets before us the what and the how and the why of the Sabbath. The what of the Sabbath is found in verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The why is found in verses 9 and 10. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. The seventh is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. And on it you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. And then the why is verse 11. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath and made it holy. And as Elder Paul alluded to when he read, or when he was giving our introductory remarks this morning, when you read the Lord's Day in Deuteronomy 5, the second giving of the law, you read these words, "You shall remember you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." So you've got the how, you've got the what, rather, the how, verses 9 and 10, and the why of the Lord's day. And so as we come to this position, as we take up these basic doctrines, as we have made our way to them, we come now to, well, of religious worship and the Sabbath day. And what I want you to see as we approach this text, as we come to this text, what God says, and I want you to see that He sets before us that the Lord's Day or the Christian Sabbath is to be a day holy, completely set apart for the worship of God by resting from all our earthly endeavors. Let me say it again. From this text, the Lord would have you see that the Lord's Day, the Christian Sabbath, is a day to be completely set apart for His worship by resting from all our earthly endeavors and recreations. We're going to see that in 3 points this morning. We're going to see, firstly, the primary purpose of the Sabbath. The primary purpose of the Sabbath. Secondly, we're going to see the primary support to the Sabbath or to worship. The primary support to the Sabbath. And then lastly, we're going to see ways we violate the Sabbath. Ways we violate the Sabbath. So let's see then the primary purpose of the Lord's Day. The primary purpose of the Sabbath. And very plainly I say to you, the primary purpose of this day is worship. Is worship. Verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The primary purpose of the Lord's Day is to worship the Lord. Resting, as we see, is a part of it. It's only a means to facilitate that worship. It's only a means to facilitate and support the worship of God. The Lord's Day, Sunday, the Sabbath, is to be a day wholly and entirely about Him. What do we recall on the Lord's Day? We recall His creation of us. We recall His redemption of sinners. And in those things, we have enough to occupy us all day. It's to be an entire day about Him. It is about Him because He is to be our chief delight, our chief joy, our chief treasure, our chief pleasure, the pearl of great price. And that's why I say to you, show me how you spend the Lord's Day, and I will show you what is your chief love, your chief pleasure, your chief delight. It's not Sunday fun day. I don't care what Facebook or Instagram or all of those things set out there. It's the Lord's Day. But it is a day of great joy. It's not a day of somber bitterness. It's a day of feasting. It's a day when we get to get together as God's people and we get to remember what He has done. What is the greatest act that you know of in this earth? Is it the man who recently jumped from outer space and plummeted to earth at a free fall and survived it with his parachute? It was the highest anyone's ever jumped. Is it someone climbing Mount Everest? No, the greatest happening in all of history is Jesus Christ coming into this earth, taking on the nature of us, living a sinless life and dying for sinners. And the Lord's Day is the day which we get to gather and remember this. 6 other days the world is trying to cram in and push out and drive out the Lord in His day. 86% of the week, roughly, is given to you, and you therein, you are set about doing your worldly pursuits. And in those days, the world is trying to tell you there is something greater than Jesus. One day, the Lord says, no, come back to reality. The reality is that my love is greater than all the bitterness, all the brokenness, all the tragedy that you have seen in this earth. Come back, revel in my goodness, revel in my power, revel in me. And so He is worthy of His day. It is His day. It's the Lord's day, not our day. He is worthy. The psalmist tells us over and over and over again as you read Scripture, as you read, you see that everywhere proclaims that the Lord is worthy of your worship. Psalm 18 and verse 3, I call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. Psalm 29 and verse 1. And 2, we are told how worthy the Lord is. We are told to ascribe to Him that which belongs to Him. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in splendor of holiness. And on and on and on. You know this. The Lord is worthy of your whole heart. How did Jesus say it? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. He requires your whole heart. And if you don't want to give to Him one day in 7, the day that He set aside specifically for Him and for His worship, are you loving Him? Are you loving Him with your whole heart? This day is given primarily for worship, but secondarily, it sets us apart from the world. The world says it is Sunday fun day. It's our day. It's the day that we will take to ourselves. I mean, I have to work Monday through Friday, Saturday. I got to cut grass. And so I'm going to make Sunday about me. What sets you apart from that? Let me put it to you in a little more terse way. Other than their sandwiches, what do you know about Chick-fil-A? What sets them apart and makes them distinct from most every other restaurant? It sets them apart. It stands out in your mind that the first thing other than their food that you think of is that they are closed on Sundays. Now, if that's a company run by Christians, don't you think that Christians ought to understand that we are set apart from the world? It's to set us apart. That's what holy means. Keep it holy. Remember the Lord's Day. Keep it set apart from every other day. Are you distinguished in your Sabbath keeping? Christ is worth the whole day. He's worth the whole day, especially if He is your treasure, if He's the pearl of great price to you. I want you to think about this. The Lord's Day is a day for worship. Heaven is going to be primarily about worshiping the Lamb. If you cannot find it within yourself to enjoy one day in seven, you really think you're going to fit in glory? It's going to be an eternity of it. And if you're here and you barely can make it through an hour, and if we push past an hour and 15 minutes, listen, this is just wild. It's a whole day given to Him. Do you really think if you can't manage one day in seven here that you will fit in there? Is He really your delight? Do you long to worship Him? Is the Sabbath day, is the Lord's day, the highlight of your week? Or is it something you have to check off a box? Is it drudgery? Do you have joy about Him? Is one day too much? No. 6 days is not too much. 7 days is not too much. An eternity is not too much. He is worthy. What if He only gave you 2 days to work and 5 days to be set aside? Would you dread it? Examine your heart. Because your reaction to that question tells you more about your heart than you can realize until you think on His words. Would you find it burdensome? Would you groan and roll your eyes? Because the Lord says that for His children, His commands are not burdensome. 1 John 5, 2 and 3. And so we see then the primary purpose of worship of the Sabbath is the worship of the Lord, the whole day given to Him. Now let's look at the primary support to the Sabbath, to worship. It's rest. It's rest. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, verse 9 says, but the seventh is a Sabbath day to the Lord. On it you shall not do any work. You or your son or your daughter, your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner within your gates. How is it that we can worship the Lord the whole day? By resting. By resting from those other worldly employments, those other recreations, those other things that are always pressing in and jockeying for your time. How many times have you said, I wish I had more time to study God's Word? How many times have you said, I wish I had more time to pray? How many times have you said, I wish I could read better books and grow in my walk with Him? And yet how many of us take the day that He has graciously given to us in order to do just that? We take it and we turn it into a day about ourselves or about the things of this world. How many times? You see, the Lord allows us, of course, this day as a great mercy to us, that we might draw near to Him. It's His day. And He gives it to us, and it ought to be our favorite day. We wake up and we say to our kids, This is the Lord's day. Let's get ready. Let's go hear from Him. Let's go learn about Him. Let's go learn what Jesus has done for us. And too often it's kids. Get up. Get ready. We got to go to church. No, it's a mercy that we might hear from Him. But it's also not just His morning. It's not just His half hour. It's not just His half day. It's not just, well, it's not just worship and then free time. It's His day, and His saints are those who revel in it. Oh, the Lord's day is the market day of our soul. What do I mean by this? What does it mean to be the market day? That's what the Puritans used to call it. We don't think of a market day anymore because, well, I need toothpaste and I just hop in the car and Walgreens is right here. And if they're closed for some reason, CVS is right here and Rite Aid is right over there. And if those fail me, I've got Food Lion. And if that fails me, I've got the other Food Lion. And if that fails me, I've got a gas station which sells toothpaste of all things and shampoo. No, the market day of the soul was like that old market day where it was a special day set aside where you get things that you didn't ordinarily have. Remember, we don't grow our own food. They did. But there were certain things that they didn't have around the house. They went and it was a big celebration day. We're going to get what we need. We're going to go and get a special blessing of extra things. They would get toys or whatever else that they didn't ordinarily have. Tools, clothes. The market day of the soul is a day where we come together and we get what we cannot get the rest of the week. Oh, do you long to get more of Christ? It's in the preaching of His Word. It's in the sacraments. Do you long to get more of Jesus? It's in corporate prayer and corporate worship. Do you long for more of Him? On the Lord's Day, we hear from Him. We're drawn to meet Him in a special way. We have an opportunity to sit with other believers over lunch at our homes and discuss His work in our lives. We can discuss the sermon. The rest of the week is so busy. You know it's true. You know how hard it is just to fit in family worship. It's hard to sit down as a family around a table and read a few verses and to pray together. It's hard to do that for yourself. But the Lord gives us an entire day. And here we see that the primary way to facilitate His worship is to rest from all other labors and recreations. The primary purpose of the Lord's Day is not rest. It's worship. Rest only facilitates His worship. It's not rest itself we aim for, but resting from all other labors and employments and recreations that are not necessity or mercy. It's okay to feed your family on the Lord's Day. That's a necessity. It's okay for doctors to work and nurses to work. It's a mercy. It's okay for policemen and firemen to work. It's a necessity and a mercy to us. But there are so many things that we do because we fool ourselves. We tell ourselves this is a necessity. I should have done this load of laundry yesterday, but I got to pull my ox out of a ditch. That's not an ox in a ditch. They were talking about a real ox in a real ditch. So put it in these terms. You're riding to church, you get a flat tire. You need to change that tire. You don't want to limp along and destroy the rim. You have cows. You're a farmer. It is a mercy to those cattle to milk them. You got to pick up around a chicken farm. It's necessity. This isn't a list of do's and don'ts. This is sanctified common sense telling you, you know if your activity is producing within you more worship, if it's allowing you to rest so that you might worship, there are opportunities and times when eating out on the Lord's Day is a mercy. But 99% of the times, it's not. I say this as someone who's convicted. Last week, I was in Belize. It was my first time there. I don't know much about it. It was my first day after having spent the night. And we went to church, and after church, well, we came back and we changed clothes, and they weren't having lunch there. And I didn't know much about the camp, and we went out and we ate. I was some, I don't know how many miles Belize is from here, from home. But it was a mercy to me to not starve, because I wasn't prepared to fast. And so we ate. That was a mercy. See, I'm still growing in this. But there was something that wasn't mercy or necessity that I did. And I fooled myself and I thought to myself that, you know what, I can do this. I can think about the glory of God's creation. I can think about the only sacrifice acceptable to God as I see this thing. And I went to some ruins on the Lord's Day after church, and I explored them. And what I thought would allow me to think on God was really not about Him. It was about me. And so I confess to you, before you, that I was wrong in that. Because what was supposed to be His day turned into a day of, well, supposed to be exploration and supposed to be thinking about how Jesus is the only sacrifice acceptable to God, even though these people had sacrificed, and it turned into something more. And that day, in that hour, I made it about me. But the Lord says it's to be about Him. It's His day. We are to give ourselves fully to His worship and communion with Him. There's nothing wrong with a nap on the Lord's Day. Don't hear me saying that you can't rest, because rest is a part of it. But to sleep an exorbitant amount so that you put off all understanding or all worship is not good. But a nap so that you don't nod off during worship, so that in the evening when you come back to worship, it facilitates a better time of worship so that you might be more prepared. It is good. It's a mercy to you. You can rest that day. And I don't say that just so I can cover my naps. I say that because it is a mercy. And so then, the primary means of supporting the Lord's Day is resting from everything else. 6 days of the week, the television is on, probably more than you realize. 6 days of the week, you do things that you ordinarily can do. The seventh is the Lord's Day. And so we ought to take pains to prepare adequately before the Lord's Day, so that on that morning or on that day, we're not running around having to go to the store. We need to take pains to keep others from violating the Lord's Day. The verse says, and I don't need to break it out, you know what it's saying. On it, you shall not do any work, you or your son or your daughter or your male servant or your female servant or your livestock or the sojourner who is within your gates. You know how that breaks down. You know precisely how that applies in this day. Make preparations. We prepare for everything else. Why not for the most important day, the best day, the most joyous day of the week? Men, let me address you now. Your wife, well, unless you're just a chef at home, but ordinarily your wife probably does the preparations. She probably does the cooking. She probably does most of the shopping. On the day before the Lord's Day, get off your duff. Help her. Help her get ready so that she might rest from those things that she ordinarily does. You know what? The internet's a fantastic thing. Google a crock pot meal, put it together, pick her up when she faints, and be ready for the Lord's day. Help her out that she might rest. Take pains that you don't get off your duty so that you might help her with her burden and lighten it so that she might enjoy the Lord's day by worshiping Him. So how do we violate the Lord's day? What are ways that we don't take His day into consideration? Well, it's not a list of do's and don'ts, though it should be obvious that there are do's and don'ts. I won't give you too many specifics except to say that our text, as I just read it, is remarkably clear. Our Old Testament reading is remarkably clear. You don't work, you don't make someone else work. You don't go out and pursue your pleasure and make the day about you. It's about Jesus. It's about Jesus. And so there are three ways that I'm going to set before you that we don't keep the Lord's Day, that we violate the Lord's Day. Firstly, it's when we don't prepare for the Lord's Day. When we don't prepare for the Lord's Day. Secondly, when we think of the Lord's Day as being over after morning worship. Great, I got that over with. I can do what I want the rest of the day. That's the way we violate the Lord's Day. Thirdly, when we distract others from observing the Lord's Day. That is, when we make others work for us. When we don't prepare, when we think of the Lord's Day as being over after morning worship, when we distract others from observing the Lord's Day. So let's look at not preparing for a moment. We violate the Lord's Day when we don't prepare. Think about this. We prepare for lots of things. If you go into the closet, into the fellowship hall, the one that's out there, Jen and I have stuff that we've put there for next Saturday for Avery's birthday party. We are prepared. When I say we, it's stuff that Jen got together and she got it ready and I just helped her carry it in. But we are prepared for Avery's birthday party. She has the theme laid out. She knows what's going to happen. How many times in our lives do we prepare for other trivial things that in the end will not matter, but we do not prepare for the Lord's Day? Duke and Carolina play, you're going to have people over. Clemson and Carolina play, you're going to have people over. I don't know who your team is, so I can't tell you all the rivalries. Those are just the ones that come to me. You're going to have people over. What do? You don't wait until they get there and say, all right, I'm going to the store to get chips. I'm going to go to... You prepare. We violate the Lord's Day when we treat it as just another day, when we treat it as a day about us instead of preparing to make it about Him. The Lord's Day is of more worth than a game. This is spending the day with God. The whole day. He gives it to you that you might draw near to Him and with His people in a special way. And as Elder Duffy said in our preparatory statements, we don't have special days, holidays that are more special than this. We get 52 days a year that the Lord gives us that we might draw near to Him in holy rest. 52 holidays that we might rest from all our worldly employments. So how should we prepare? Well, we prepare our hearts and our homes. You prepare your heart and your home for worship. You violate the Lord's Day when you don't do this. So to have a worshipful Lord's Day, it usually begins on Saturday. You prepare your heart this way by slowing down on Saturday, Saturday afternoon and evening, you begin praying for the Lord's Day. You pray for the ministry of the Word. You pray for your Sunday school teachers. You pray for other members of the church that they might be brought into worship. You don't stay up too late so that you're drowsy during His day. You don't stay up too late so that you're drowsy during worship. Maybe read the bulletin as a family. Prepare for the songs that you're going to sing. You may sing them poorly. You may have to fake the tune. But prepare together. Prepare your heart. You can look up online songs to sing. The ones that we're going to sing. There's a wonderful site. Hymnary.org and Psalter.org or com or something. And there you can play the tunes if you don't know them. Prepare your heart. Prepare your heart. Look over the text that we're going to be studying. Meditate on them. How do you prepare your home? Well, you take Saturday and prepare meal. Men, you prepare a crock pot meal. Take some of the burden off your wife. If you want to make her pass out a second time, fold the laundry. Do the dishes. Help her prepare. You prepare your home so that you might spend the whole day with Him, so that you don't have to fret with those things on Sunday. I'm not just being cute and funny when I tell us to help. I'm convicted of my own failings here. Men, you are obliged to help. And for those of you whose wives aren't here, I'm sending this tape to them. You are obliged to help so that she might rest on the Lord's day. And so then, invite a family from church over after worship. Invite them so that you might fellowship in the union we have in Christ, so that you might spur one another on in love and devotion to Jesus. I don't care if all your life it's just been you and your family. Open up your home. Because guess what? They're your brothers and sisters too. And so you have them over so that you might rejoice together, that you might set His day apart. You discuss the sermons. You discuss spiritual life. You engage in Christian fellowship, which you're not able to do at other times. How many times have you said to someone, you know what, I love you. I'm so glad to see you again at church. Let me have you over soon. We'll have you over. Let's plan it. Let's get together. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And they're all taken up. You know when's a perfect day? The day given to the Lord. So you prepare. You prepare to have folks over to celebrate Jesus with them. When was the last time you had someone over? When was the last time you engaged in spiritual conversation? I'm not being condemnatory, but I listen. At the end of the service, I march down this little aisle. I walk at the back and I sit and I listen. And immediately after the service, what happens? How often do we begin diving back in to worldly employments? It's not wrong to mention those in passing, but the day is primarily Jesus' day. And so we do that when we don't prepare our hearts and our homes. But we also do it when we don't have the whole day set aside to pursue His worship and His grace. We do that when we think of the Lord's Day as being over after morning worship. Check. I've got that over with. Now it's home to watch the race or the ball game. And that's when you've confused the primary purpose of the day. You've made it about you. You've made it about rest instead of about worship and about Jesus. And you rest from those things so that you might do that. So that you might do that. The primary purpose of the day is resting from those things that you might pursue heavenly things. Things you're supposed to be wanting to pursue. Set it aside Make the whole day about growing in Christ and growing in grace. It's not the Lord's couple of hours. It's not the Lord's couple of hours in the morning. And then if you feel like it, you're not too groggy from your nap, you'll show back up in the evening. It's the Lord's day. Young people, it's the Lord's day. Have your homework done on Saturday. When you turn to the homework or the things you should have gotten done and you really didn't because you didn't use your time well, because cartoons are nice. Saturdays are great for those. You turn it into a day about yourself. You turn it into a day about yourself instead of Him. And you're not honoring Him in that day. Turn to Him. Make it about pursuing heavenly things. Honor His day. Travel ball teams. Jen and I just signed Avery up for soccer. And the first question we had to ask is this going to take her away from church? And they said no. And for that we are thankful. But if you turn it into a day for ball, I'll give you two recommendations. One, realize you're taking away from His day. Two, go home and watch Chariots of Fire, the movie about Eric Liddell. And then see. But then, we don't honor the Lord's Day. We violate it when we distract others from observing the Lord's Day. When we make others work for us. Now again, the Scripture principle is clear. Works of necessity and mercy are acceptable. It's a necessity for you to drive to church. That's okay to do. It may seem like work, it may be toilsome, but if that tire blows out, it's also a mercy. But there are things that we know that are not necessity or mercy. And so then, when we make other people do those things, we're taking away, we're violating the Lord's day. Scripture's pretty clear. Verse 9 and 10, set it out for us. It's a day that we might draw near to Him, that others might draw near to Him. And if you make them violate that, you're not honoring the day. And I know that this is not what many of us grew up with, not what many of us are accustomed to, not what many of us like to hear. Listen, it took me a long time to come to this position that our standards teach, that the Scripture is clear about. I still violate it. I even told you in a case in which I feel that I did. Not perfect in this. But that said, it is the position of the Scripture and it is the position of our standards. And the reality is I must ask myself if I am going to conform to the Scriptures or am I going to conform the Scripture to my desires. For the Christian, the Lord's Day sets us apart from the world. People may ask you and you get the chance to say, because this world is not all that I have. I'm just a pilgrim here. This world's not my treasure and these earthly things are not my treasure. There's something greater. That's God Himself and He is my treasure. And the redemption accomplished by Christ is my greatest treasure. And so for the Christian, the Lord's Day ought to be the highlight of our week. Everything else in the week flows from this glorious occasion where I come in, I hear the Word, God speaks to me through the preaching of the Word, through the reading of the Word, and I am sent out full and fed by Him. And on the days that we have the sacraments, He just adds to it. Oh, for most of us, unfortunately, we look at the Lord's Day as something to groan toward. When the reality is it's something we should be looking forward to because we're languishing in the other parts of the week. that the Lord fills us on His day. We go out jubilant because Jesus has accomplished our salvation. We are freed from sin and we go out in that joy, and that joy wanes. But when we start thinking of that day, oh, we know it's going to carry us through another week. We live Sunday to Sunday. Because on that day we get what we don't get the rest of the week. Who or what do you love more than anything in this world? Who or what is your true passion or desire? What do you really long for? Show me how you spend your Lord's day, and you tell me a lot more about yourself than you realize. Let's go to Him in prayer.